You're driving on a beautiful day. You got the windows down. It couldn't be during the summer, but it'd be, later on when it's really cool outside. And you're driving somewhere and you can see at the intersection there's one of those people holding up a sign. And you make a choice. Do I actually engage with this person or do I roll up my window and pretend like I don't see them? Wouldn't it be great if there would be just one thing you could do, maybe one thing that you could write on their sign that would solve all of their problems, or something you could give them that would just help take care of whatever their need is? What is your choice? This is not something that's been just in our culture today. It's been around a long time. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 58 is where we're going to be today. But we're going to find out that they had some of the same choices back then that we have today. And with regards to the poor and the homeless within our area, within our city, we have a choice to make. But I believe there are some things that's important for us to do before we even begin the discussion of what do we do with the poor and the homeless within our city. And I believe one of those things is that we have to look within ourselves first. You'll see in Isaiah 58, God is using Isaiah to make some declarations. And these declarations are not always easy sometimes. These declarations are things that God is saying, I know you go to church. I know that you worship. I know that you're a good person. But sometimes that's not enough. What God wants us to do is to notice people and begin a relationship with people, even people that are hard to develop a relationship with. I believe God wants us to make a difference in the lives of other people. When you look at Isaiah 58, you see several declarations. Follow along with me in your Bibles, in your iPads or phones or whatever you have. Technology breaks down sometimes, and so I apologize that we don't have it up on the screen for you. And if you need to, just listen. Listen to what God is saying through Isaiah. He says, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you haven't seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, yet you have not noticed? And God says, but on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. And you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Well, I believe this first declaration you see here is a declaration of failure. And it's about our actions. What are the actions we're talking about? Well, here's three things, I think. Number one is, we need to speak up when we see sin. Can I say that again? We need to speak up when we see sin. We see things in today's culture that are being redefined, like marriage. We see homosexuality and call it an alternative lifestyle. We see abortion and we call it a medical procedure. We see lying and we see treating each other with disrespect and we call it political discourse. And that's on both sides. We need to speak up when we see sin. That's one of the things God is saying is, don't just let it lay there. What's going to happen whenever we decide sin is no longer sin? What's going to happen when we water down sin to the point that it doesn't convict people anymore? I believe one of those things is we're going to call sin, sin. Second thing is this, we should seek God when we experience sin. We've all got things that we do in our life that we know are wrong, and we do them anyway, and those are the things, a lot of those things are things that just God and us know about. But when we experience sin, we've got to seek God to get the forgiveness and the grace that we need. We try to seek other things. We try so many things to make us feel better. And what we realize is it just is more sin. You see, when we experience sin, we need to seek God. And then here's the last thing. We should sanctify ourselves when we overcome sin. There's a time that comes when we need to set ourselves apart. There's a time that comes when we've got to separate ourselves from the things that are in the world and just experience God and just try to figure out where do we need to go? What direction do we need to go? There's a reason that God says, be still and know that I am God. So we've got to do what we can to sanctify ourselves. And notice I don't say if we overcome sin, I say when we overcome sin. You see, there's a declaration of failure, and it's about our actions and the things that we struggle with. And there's a time where we've got to stand up and say some things are just wrong before we can even think about talking to people that struggle with things that we have no idea what that struggle is about. We've got to look within ourselves, and we've got to figure out what is going on in my own life? What is God expecting of me? Now, it's interesting in the next two declarations, you almost see the same thing. You see God saying, if you want to let your light shine, if you want to stand out in a crowd, the best way to do it is to humble yourself. The best way to do it is to take care of the poor, to take care of the people that don't have what you have. Listen to this next section, starting in verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. If there's one way that people that are poor and homeless feel, it's right there. You'll hear about that in the workshop we're going to have right after worship. He'll tell you. They feel chained down. They feel tied up. They feel oppressed. How do we change that? What do? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear and then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and he'll say, here I am. What are you struggling with right now? What is going on in your world that is throwing you into chaos? God is saying, I'm still here. But you know what? There's some things that maybe you ought to think about. Stepping outside of yourself. He says it again. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwelling. I wonder in that last verse if maybe he was thinking about Nehemiah. Remember that story? He went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt those walls. And he became the repairer of broken walls. Not only is this a declaration, this chapter, a declaration of failure and about our actions, but I also believe it's this. I believe it's a declaration of freedom. And it's about our direction. What is our direction? What is the direction we have? Every one of us is moving in a certain direction. We may struggle with that. We may not know which direction we're going, or maybe we do. But that's what a declaration of freedom is it gives you direction. And I believe one of the directions that God is pointing us to is he's saying, I want you to help the people that are oppressed. I want you to help those who are poor. I want you to help those who don't have clothes and don't have food. What happens when we do that? Our light will break forth. Our healing will appear. Our righteousness will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. Three things that we can do with this. As families, and that's where this is ultimately going, is what can we do as families to help the people that need help? What can we do as families just through our examples? Well, I think one of the first things he says here is, we need to be families of service. We do a lot of service projects as a church, as individual groups, as Bible classes, as youth groups, you know, all the things. We do a lot of service projects, but what do we do strictly just as a family? I know there's families in this church that do service, and they do service projects just like anybody else would in a large group. But what would happen if we all decided we want to do something about the poverty that's here in Abilene? We want to do something to try to help people and make a difference in the lives of those people that we see downtown on First Street that are struggling. They're looking for places to live instead of under a bridge. For people that maybe just need a relationship with somebody. Somebody to say, I care. We need to be families of service. Second thing is this, we need to be families that shine. What do I mean by that? Well, I think what would happen if we did these things that we're talking about? If we became a church that really cared about the poor. Not only would our church shine like the dawn, but each individual family would shine like the dawn. We would be going around and people would say, what is it that you have that's different? When you go into a restaurant, we've had people in this church that have developed relationships with a waiter or a waitress, found out about their lives, found out they needed some help and came back to us, and we were able to call and begin a relationship with that person. Sometimes that's all it's talking about is shining. Unfortunately, Sunday afternoon for lunch is the least favorite time for most waiters and waitresses, I hear. Because all the church people come by. We need to be families that shine, that are different from the rest of the world. And here's the last thing I believe on this one. Is we need to be people of satisfaction. We live in a culture that says the more you get, the better you are. The higher on the level you are, the better your social standing is. What would happen if we changed that? There's a lot of movements now. There's a lot of movements towards moving into the community of the poor and doing what we can to develop those relationships when we see them. Becoming their neighbor. That's a little extreme, isn't it? Is it? What would happen if we decided to make a difference that way? We need to be people of satisfaction, not only satisfied with what we have, but helping others feel a sense of satisfaction. In this verse, you see three things. This is just not on your outline. This is something I came up with later. How does that happen? Well, number one, God will show us the way of how that can happen. I believe that's what it says here. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Does that describe Abilene? And He will strengthen your frame. God will show us the way. God also will satisfy us. And I believe also God will strengthen us. When we do what God says, doesn't it seem like things work out better for us? Isn't that right? Isn't that the way the culture tells you, do the opposite of what God says and you'll have a much better life. You ever notice best commercials on TV, you know, are the beer commercials, right? You know, we watch the Super Bowl just to see the Bud Light commercials. What do they don't show you? They don't show you the lifestyles that are ruined, the car accidents, the other things that happen when alcohol is involved. They don't show you those things. Why? Because they want to sell stuff. You see, God's way is always the best way. If we want to be satisfied, if we want to feel a sense of satisfaction, then we need to follow God's way. God can show us how to do that, if we'll allow Him to do that. So there's a declaration of freedom here, and we've got to choose our direction. And people ask a couple of questions. Two of the questions that come up, especially this is the one for the first point, where is God? Where is God? Because a lot of times people don't see God in us. They ask, where is God? And then the second question is, what does God want? And if we don't go out and share that with people, who will? We have a lot of great organizations in our community, like the Christian Service Center with Jim Clark and Love and Care Ministries with Mark Hewitt and Terry and all their crew. Chad Mitchell does a lot of work as well with the Mission Church. I mean, there's just so many organizations out there, but it also comes down to personal responsibility. They can't do it all. And he's going to tell you how much they do, which is a lot, but they still can't meet the need. So what would happen if we made a declaration of freedom that says, I have the choice of what I do when I see a poor person walking along, or when I hear about a waiter or a waitress in the restaurant that's struggling financially? We have a choice on what we do in those situations. The last declaration is in the last verses there, where it says this. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Then I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This last declaration is a declaration of faith. And what is that? That's our celebration. Our celebration. We have opportunities all the time around us. If we will ask God to show us, He will. I believe He will show us whether we ask or not, because you've seen it anyway. Because there are people that are asking questions like, where is God and what does God want? And there's also people that are saying, how do I find God? How do I find God? And if we share our lives with people, not having to go out and do a whole three-point poem sermon, but just share our lives. Have a relationship with people. That's all God is asking us to do. How do you do that? What are some ways we can do that? Let me share three ways with you and then we'll be done. Number one, make your approach towards the poor honorable. Make your approach towards the poor honorable. Whenever you talk to somebody, whenever you go out on these mission trips, whenever you do these things and you see somebody that's poor, do they see honor? Or do they see pity? What do they see when they look at us and they see us in our whatever we're driving? I'll even say whatever we're riding. That's convicting. No matter what it is we're wearing or driving, though, whenever we approach people, do we approach them with honor? Do we make them feel important? In our families, that's how we should begin. We need to make our approach towards the poor honorable. Second thing is this. We need to make our actions towards the poor honorable. Make our actions towards the poor honorable. I'd encourage you, there's a lot of books out there that deal with this, and we're reading one called When Helping Hurts right now, and I'd recommend that to you. Toxic Charity is another book that I'd recommend to you, because I think a lot of times we're led by guilt to help people. And there are better ways to help people who are poor and oppressed, people who may be homeless, than just throwing money towards them. Because money doesn't solve all their problems. It might temporarily help them. But there's a long-term way that you can help in a much better way. And it begins by building a relationship. So instead of seeing that guy on the corner with a sign and you give him a $5 bill and feel good about yourself, what would happen if you went and grabbed a couple of meals and went and sat with him and said, tell me your story. Tell me what's going on in your life. Not in a pity way, in an honoring way. We've got to make our actions towards the poor honorable. And then lastly, I think it's this one. We've got to make our attitude towards the poor honorable. Make our attitude towards the poor. What is your attitude? Think for just a minute. And everybody in here grew up in different generations, and different generations we know deal with people in different ways. Is your attitude towards the poor honorable? Is it something that you look at and you think, is my attitude right? We have a lot of people within our city that are struggling financially. And we tend to focus sometimes strictly on the homeless population, which we have a large one. But we even have a larger population of people that are just poor. They're a little different from us. Maybe they dress differently, live in a different type of house. But they're just poor. Sometimes go through the Bible and look up every verse that has the word poor in it and see what the attitude is. Because I believe God shows us that our attitude towards the poor needs to be honorable. It needs to be the type of attitude that says, I'm not just going to give you a handout. I'm going to give you a hand up. Notice all the times that Jesus healed people, a lot of times he would reach out his hand and he would pick them up, physically or metaphorically, either one. How do you view the poor? If you could make a difference, what would you do? Let's take a look at the end of this video and see what happened to change the perspective of the people that walked by.
Thank you.
He said, "What did you do to my sign?" She says, "I wrote the same, just in different words." It was the significant act of stopping and beginning a relationship with somebody. He knew who she was by the feel of her shoes. Maybe he heard her coming, maybe, but he knew who she was. What would happen if people begin to know who we are because we care about the poor? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to look with different eyes, to put on a different pair of glasses. And anytime you see somebody that's struggling financially, anytime you hear of somebody that's struggling with bills, introduce yourself. Tell them you're with Hillcrest Church of Christ and we just care about people that are struggling. Get their name and number, bring them back to us, and let us see what we can do to help them. But don't forget about them. Check back with them. See what you can do to help them. See what we can do to help them. I would love for us to all develop a mindset, and I'm still struggling, to be honest with you, on what the best case way to handle this is. But what would happen if we all made a commitment that we're going to alleviate poverty in Abilene? We may not be able to get rid of all of it, but just in our little area, maybe our little niche, if some way we could figure out that we can make a difference in poverty and homelessness and the lives of the poor. If you notice, that's what Jesus did. And if we have the attitude of Jesus that's described in Philippians chapter 2, maybe we could make a difference. As you think about your own lives, as you think about the way you handle the poor, maybe there's some changes that could be made. Maybe we could be like the description that's here that says, our light will rise in the darkness and our night will become like the noonday. We want the Lord to guide us always. We want to be satisfied of our needs in a sun-scorched land. We want our frames strengthened. We want to be a well-watered garden like a spring whose waters never fail. We want to rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. We want to be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets with dwellings. We want to be those kinds of people. So what's stopping us? Ourselves. So let's give up whatever it is. Let's ask God to help us to do what we can to make a difference in the lives of the poor. And I guarantee you He'll put somebody in your path today. So watch for it. And then decide what you're going to do. We have this thing called an invitation song that allows people to come forward and say, you know what, I really like to change my life. I really want to make a difference. And maybe there's something in this verse that was convicting to you that says, I want to make a difference in the lives of the poor. I've had the wrong attitude, and I need to change that. And we can pray for you and we can help you. If you're not a Christian, we can help you become a Christian. We can help you make a difference in your life first so you can make a difference in the lives of others. There'll be elders up here up front, and all you got to do is come up and share whatever it is that you have with them. But I want to ask you, how are you going to make a difference today? Let's stand and sing.